Greetings to all. In Jesus' name, that worthy name because of which we're gathered here this morning. Brother James, our sympathies to you for losing your mother. And praise God for the testimony of a faithful mother and a life well lived. Appreciated what you shared, Brother Nathan, about 25-year anniversary for this church. I've been here for most of about 17, and feel like I've been through a lot here, mostly good, but many deep times and many life-shaping times. Thinking about 25 years, in another 25 years, many of us that think of ourselves as still fairly young will be somewhere up there in senior citizen range. But may God just have His way. We can't see the future, and it's best that way. But may we live in faithfulness today and tomorrow and every day as time goes by. I too want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you precious mothers. The message today is Mothers Bearing God's Image. Some years ago, Hallmark, the large greeting card company, took a Mother's Day, and I haven't been able to verify if this is a true story, an actual happening, or if it's something that just gets passed on, but I'll share it as if it was a true happening. Hallmark took a Mother's Day and went to a large prison and offered all the inmates the opportunity to come out, choose a card for their mother, sign it, and they'll get it to their mothers. And so they were there, and they had a tremendous showing. Just the inmates just came pouring in, and just took it by storm. Everyone, it seemed like, wanted to reach out to their mother. Well, since it was such a success, Hallmark said, well, let's do the same thing for Father's Day. And they did the same thing for Father's Day. They offered the same thing, and nobody showed up, or at least very few. Like I said, I'm not sure if it's true, but if you know the demographics of the population in prison in the United States, the percentage of inmates that come from situations where father was either absent or abusive just is very, very high. And it shows up the sad state of fathers in America. But I'll leave that for Father's Day's coming up. I don't know who's having the message then, but maybe we could hear a message for the fathers then. Today it's for the mothers. Our mothers are very close to our hearts for good reason. You're always there for us through thick and thin, always believed in us, always wanted the best for us. And these poor men sitting in prison, remembering how their mothers were just always there for them and feeling like they left their mothers down, and like now they can't do anything for them. That would probably point to why they were so ready to send a card, which is good. The number of phone calls on any given day is very trackable by the phone companies. The amount of calls on any given day throughout the year. On Mother's Day, it spikes very significantly, up to 37% above the average phone calls for a day. Now, as a side note, the amount of traffic accidents also goes up on Mother's Day, and especially more in recent years since video calling is a thing. I just suggest that if you call your mother with video call, don't do it while driving. Not a good idea. Too many people do. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Some of the more modern translations will say, so God created mankind in his own image, and that is accurate. It's not speaking of men only, but mankind, men and women, men and women, both equally, absolutely 100% the same, reflect God's image and are called to bear God's image. When we think of the multitudes of human beings God has created in his image, and how everyone is distinct, everyone is unique, we all have strengths and weaknesses, we all have personality traits that just come out more or less, and it's just right fascinating and mind-boggling how God can create so many people and everyone's different, but all reflecting God's image. What kind of a rich and broad personality and character must God have that everybody throughout the whole wide world, down through the ages before us, and if the Lord tarries for many more years, there'll be billions more, that they're all reflecting God. Just an amazing thought. Why did God create man alone at first? Knowing full well that something was going to be missing. He wasn't taken by surprise when he said, it's not good that man should be alone. Maybe we can ask the same question. Why the two covenants? Why first the old covenant? And then with time, the new covenant, the fulfillment of the old. Or why did Jesus say, it's better for me to go so that the Comforter may come? Why was the Spirit withheld to a degree till Jesus departed and then the Spirit was poured out upon his people? God, in many ways, acts progressively. We see that in the creation of man and then progressing to the creation of woman. We see it in the gradual development of what we call today the Old Testament, and then eventually into the New. And the New is a fulfillment of the Old, not a complete replacement. The Old wasn't bad, it's just a fulfillment thereof. What are some of the ways that women do a better job at reflecting God's image than us men? Maybe it just comes more naturally. Men can and are called to the same, but for women, certain characteristics of God just come easier and more naturally. What are some of those things? Perhaps emotional intelligence? Perhaps empathy, which is some of the reasons why mothers do most of the band-aids and kissing those boo-boos and taking care of things. Adaptability, mental fortitude. 1 Peter 3:7 speaks of men being stronger and women as the weaker vessel. And this, I believe, is speaking of the traditional metrics of measuring strength. There's a reason why there aren't many female loggers. There's a reason why typically it's men working in heavy masonry or working in mines and quarries. There's a reason why traditionally men have been out fighting the wars. So in physical strength and brute strength, men typically are ahead, but there are other strengths that women often outshine men. Mental fortitude, maybe one. Focus. How often, on average, are the sisters better at staying focused and multitasking and having so many irons in the fire and just keeping it all together and going through the day that way? Supportive role. Women are good at that, taking a supportive role. Again, these things, I believe our sisters outshine us men often in reflecting God's image in those areas. There's a reason girls often are playing doll together nicely while the boys are out there playing King on the Mountain. Or those types of things. Now, which, when I listed those things, which of the covenants, the old or the new, do the mothers, the women, reflect more closely? I think it's clear it would be the New Testament. The New Covenant. Which of the triune, which part of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, do the mothers reflect more closely? The Holy Spirit. Again, you see God's progression, and I don't know where I ought to go with that, what to do with it, but it's fascinating. Now for our main passage, going to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. This is a good reminder. Let's just pray before we get into the message any further. Will you stand with me and we'll pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and place that you've put us into. Thank you for this gathering this morning, all the words that have been spoken, and that which you've laid upon my heart. Please help me to convey it clearly. I pray that your word would be coming forth rightly divided, and that by your Spirit you would minister it to us, minister to our hearts, and especially I pray for the dear mothers that are in our midst and in our lives elsewhere perhaps, that you would bless them today with a very special blessing. And may not just be today, but may it be real and rich today, but go on throughout the coming days and years. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated again. Thank you. Going on in verse 9, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now, I'm just guessing, looking at this passage, that if I would ask all of you sisters, what's your favorite passage in the Scriptures, probably nobody would point to anything here. I may be wrong. Verse 11 says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. More modern translations often use submission. And again, that's usually not a word that we just are all excited over. Now, I know there are many good examples sitting on the sister's side here today of sisters that have got this subject and are living this out. And I bless you for it. But I'm going to guess that if I ask you what your favorite verse is, it's not going to be 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Now, the subject of submission, let's break it down in two parts. Submission. Sub means under. Think subway, subfloor, subcontractor. Sub means under. Mission. Women often have a strength in coming under. and supporting a mission. Do some ladies struggle with submission? Yes, sometimes. Is it possible that maybe the fault is with the mission? Maybe the man or the men in their lives aren't creating a mission and aren't leading out with a vision. So men, just a call to have a mission in life and to have it clear and to lead with a vision. It's very hard to come under a man who has no mission. And some men can be very capricious, meaning just have sudden, odd, and changeable notions where the man is always right but is very unpredictable. Men, we can't lead that way. And if a sister has a hard time being submissive with that kind of leading, it's probably not her fault. So men, lead with vision and with purpose. Stand for a cause in the day and age we live in. I want to zero in on verse 15. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. I would bet this has been a bit of a difficult verse for me to understand and to come to clarity with it. But as I studied on it and meditated, I think things became more clear. Backing up to Genesis again, quoting out of Genesis 3, 17 to 19, God speaking to Adam, he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Now as men, we have the choice of looking at this, what God spoke upon all men, and we can respond with, not me. I'm not sweating. I'm not going to suffer that way. Not me. That's too hard. I'm going to choose an easy life. Take thine ease, my soul. Eat, drink, and be merry. We can take that approach. Or we can be a macho man. Doesn't matter to me. I'm going to be tough. Nothing's fazing me. And that's not a good approach either. But in the fear of God, recognizing God knows best, recognizing His discipline, His consequences for a sinful generation, a sinful humanity is right and just and good, and we embrace it. We work with and we earn our bread with the sweat of the brow, and we're not afraid of shouldering the hard and taking our responsibility. Backing up to verse 16, God said unto the woman, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." There again, sisters, you also have a choice in how to respond to God's consequence, you may say, a result of sin. It can be the same thing. Not me, it's too hard. But in embracing God's design, we find saving grace. God's design is always salvific. There is always redemptive power in embracing God's ways in a departing world. We don't have to look far and wide to see what happens when women turn away from childbearing and having that focus and embracing that to chasing after other things, a selfish pursuit, just a life of eat, drink, take thine ease, be merry, rather than accepting God's call. In a world where a life is built around self and children are few and often looked at as an inconvenience, an annoyance, and a bother. God's mothers shine so brightly when they embrace childbearing and life is built around the home where children are welcome and mothers are present. Thank you, mothers, for doing this. So what about this? What about those that are unmarried? What about those that can't bear children? Where do they belong? What is their part? And it can be easy, reading over this portion that I did from verses 9 through 15. Maybe it causes some gulps. And what's Paul saying here? Just a little trivia. Who wrote most of the books in the Bible? What author wrote more books than any other author in the Bible? Paul did. Paul wrote more books than any other author. Now the question, what author had another biblical author put a warning in his writing about this author's writing? Again, it's Paul. Peter, by the Holy Spirit. Let me read it here. Second Peter 3:15 and 16. An account of the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destination, unto their own destruction. Paul wrote by the Holy Spirit, no doubt about it. Every word is inspired by God, but we must be careful that we take it correctly. We don't twist them to our destruction, as Peter warned. And Peter also, writing by the Holy Spirit, gave a little bit of a warning. Be careful that you read Paul's writings in a mature kind of way and in a balanced kind of way, looking at other scriptures as well and not twisting them to your own destruction. There is no eternal life to be found solely in bearing children. Maybe that's one way that this could be read and be like, no, that can't mean that. No, it doesn't mean that. But there's a saving grace. There's a redemptive power. There's God's grace flowing for the mother that embraces mothering God's way. It's a guiding principle rather than a hard promise. Just like many other things in the Bible, we can't just name it and claim it. Well, if I do this, God's got to do this back. For example, Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with his promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Well, honoring your father and mother is a wonderful way to get a good life and a long life. And children, a key element, children, this morning, for a good life is to honor your mother. I want you to understand that. That's a very key element to a good life. But honoring our parents doesn't guarantee we'll live to a ripe old age. Many godly people die young that honored their parents. Many people dishonor their parents and still reach a ripe old age. We can't just claim it and say, God, you have to do this. You said so. Proverbs 10:7 could be another example. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. There have been many wicked people that died a long time ago, and we still remember them. it's not a rule of thumb. It's not something that's just always happens. Sometimes godly people die and are soon forgotten, and wicked people die and are long remembered. But this is a general principle that does carry out. Proverbs 19:4 is another example. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Again, there are rich people that are very lonely. There are poor people that have many friends. But it is a principle that does carry out, and it's worth following. So this also, she shall be saved in childbearing. However we can take this, some have said, well, if the mother lives godly in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety, then God will protect her through the childbirth. Well, yes, but there again, how many women have not lived in this and had a good childbirth? How many others were living in this and died in childbirth? It doesn't make sense to look at it that way, I don't believe. So look at it as a principle rather than a hard promise. And it can also be seen as a promise to a group rather than an individual. I am very thankful for God's ways and for a church, for a people that have shaped their lives after God's word, and how many generations before us have feared the Lord and read the Bible and ordered their lives accordingly for hundreds of years. And here we are, blessed by a long-standing heritage of many good and godly things that we should not take for granted. But here we have a culture that has many, many blessings because of mothers that have taken their role seriously and welcomed children into this world and were there for them consistently, day in, day out, keeping the home, raising children. And there's so much that saves us from. So many woes that we could be experiencing if our mothers were running off to the job, putting children to a daycare. And I'm not saying that's always bad. Sometimes situations call for it. But in principle, mothers are there in the home taking care of things. And it saves us as a people, as a society, it saves us from so many woes. The dear sisters that cannot be mothers can still find blessing and sanctification and fulfillment in nurturing, in exercising those God-given characteristics. Nurturing, such as in teaching, in health care, in helping weary mothers, and those kinds of ways. But oh, the power of a home where children are welcomed and the mother walks in faith, love, holiness, and sobriety. Oh, the blessedness of a culture where children are celebrated and mothers are faithful, loving, and God-fearing. Sometimes mothering may feel rather thankless and rather unglamorous. Sometimes it may feel like life just goes from one squabble to the next. Sometimes you may wonder, is there a secret drain where all my efforts are being lost as fast as I can pour them out? You may ask the question, what happened with me in Proverbs 31? Speaking of Proverbs 31, I'm just going to turn there a little bit. I believe Proverbs 31 was written for men. Proverbs 31 was written for men. The mother of King Lemuel. It starts down the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And then she goes on to warn Lemuel of various different vices that he needs to be aware of and be careful of, not to fall into them. Give not thy strength unto women, plural, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Watch out for wine, strong drink. And then verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, singular. Who can find a virtuous woman? And then she goes on. If you're going to look for a virtuous woman, look for this. And all the way down through. Here's what you look for. Young men, this morning, if you're looking for a wife, read Proverbs 31. Get wisdom from it. This is the right context. Read Proverbs 31 when you're looking for a wife. Don't use it after you're married and you realize, oh, my wife does have a few flaws, and then point her back to Proverbs 31. No, that's not the way it's written. It's an ideal when you're looking for a virtuous woman. In verse 31 at the very end, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So young men, when you go for counsel, where do you go? To the gates. That's where the old men sit. That's where the wisdom is. Go to the gates. When you're approaching these older men for wisdom, for direction, you'd like to marry this lady, let her own works speak for her. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Elizabeth Elliot said, a mother is a missionary every day in her home. John Wesley said, I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England. Coming from John Wesley, being a theologian, you might say, himself, in England, spending years in Oxford, he was very influenced by many theologians. But put that all together, he learned more about Christianity from his mother. As a mother, my job is to take care of the possible and trust God with the impossible. Never could it be possible for any man to estimate what he owes to a godly mother. That's by Charles Spurgeon. Your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God might not be something you do, but someone you raise. Mothers. Mothers give of themselves in ways that the rest of us would never truly understand or fully appreciate. To all the mothers here today, and in honor to my own mother, I would like to say the following. Mom, I can never fully express how your love has made me the person that I am today. I thank God and thank you for always being my greatest example of selfless love. I can't imagine how the world would be without you, Mom. You make everything more beautiful, more hopeful, and more loving, and I can't thank you enough. For all the times I forgot to say thank you for life, for making sure I grew more and more in my love for the Lord, thank you. You have always challenged me to be my best, and I'm more grateful than you know. My life began with and has been built on your love. You've given me such encouragement and support that has made life so beautiful. I thank God for you every day. Thank you for being a living example of God's love, grace, and mercy. Your faith has been a life-changing inspiration to me. One of the greatest gifts from God to me has been your love throughout my life. You are such an incredible example of His never-ending mercy. I thank God every day that He allowed me to be born to you. Thank you for showing me that life is all about faith in Him and giving my all to honor Him. Thank you, Mom, for always being faithful to God and faithful to helping me grow into a man after God's own heart. Your faithful witness is most appreciated. I know that there is incredible power in a praying mom. Thank you for always bringing my knees before the Lord and for teaching me to always be grateful for the many blessings He gives me every day. On this special day, I thank God that you always give your whole heart to make a difference in my life. You are one of the greatest blessings I've ever known. All this would ring true for my mother, and I'm sure there are many here that would say the same for your mother. Let's make Mother's Day a special day, but let's make every day Mother's Day. Who sat and watched my infant head when sleeping on my cradle bed and tears of sweet affection shed? My mother. When pain and sickness made me cry, who gazed upon my heavy eye and wept for fear that I should die? My mother. Who taught my infant lips to pray and love God's holy book and day and walk in wisdom's pleasant way? My mother. And can I ever cease to be affectionate and kind to thee, who wast so very kind to me, my mother? Ah, no, the thought I cannot bear, and if God please my life to spare, I hope I shall reward thy care, my mother. When thou art feeble, old and gray, my healthy arm shall be thy stay, and I will soothe thy pains away, my mother. By Ann Taylor. Mothers, never underestimate the power of prayer, to pray continually for your children, and never underestimate the power of your affection, your love, your consistent being there through thick and thin, your caring relational ways. Many, many years ago, I was a young boy, I don't know how old, probably 10 to 12, somewhere in there. I was in a situation at night. The details wouldn't make sense or wouldn't be profitable here, but I was in a situation where I wasn't aware of how things could have maybe went in a bad way. And I was laying there through the night, couldn't sleep. I heard the sweetest music ever. I don't know to this day if it was real or if it was put into my mind by God. I don't know. But to me it was very, very real. And it just kept playing. And there was no recorded music in our house. There's nobody singing. But to me it was so very, very real. And for days and weeks after, it would still just roll through my mind. I think the angels were singing as they were watching over me. And I've often wondered if my mom was praying for me. I think she probably was. Brother James lost his mother as she passed into glory this week, this past Thursday. And the Stalls recently lost their mother, Grandma Rachel. We all feel the loss, but I'm sure Rachel's children, grandchildren, feel it very keenly. She left God a testimony. She was present and caring into her ripe old age. The care she received from her family was right and good. And it was a blessing to see. Especially I'd like to bless Rachel Pauline for the way she was there for her mother all those years. Many sacrifices that went unnoticed. Except by God. God noticed. And there's just something very wholesome about that. Very right. Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. I'm saying to the mothers this morning, let no man despise thy motherhood. Don't let the world convince you in any kind of way that somehow your calling is something less. No, no. Motherhood is the highest calling you could ever have. The testimony of Scripture, the testimony of the world even, and certainly the testimony of God's people is that motherhood is the most noble calling. Be faithful. Be true each day. and God will reward you abundantly. I'd like to close with a song. Brother Caleb, if you could be prepared to come forward in a few minutes to lead out 846 in the Christian hymnary. 846, Hold the Fort. And I would like for the men on the men's side, let's sing it with gusto, with encouragement to the sisters, to the mothers in our lives, to hold the fort, to stay at it, to be faithful and true unto the end. And certainly, we men have our part in leading out with care, with love, and leading with a mission and with vision. And the sisters' side, you can sing along with encouragement to the men. We need that encouragement as well. 846. I'll close. Caleb, would you come up and lead us? Thank you.
All right, number 846 in the Christian hymnary. Hold My Comrades.
So, hold my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing, victory is not. On the mark, I am coming, Jesus signals still. Praying the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. See the mighty host advancing, safe and leading on.
Thank you, Brother Ephraim, for all the things you had to share this morning. I trust that we were all encouraged, reminded of the precious gift of mothers, and for the blessing that they are in our lives, in our homes, in our church. Truly, they are God's precious gifts. One of the things that I wrote down here is One of the comments that Brother Ephraim made was about God's grace for the mothers who take their calling and responsibility seriously. And may you truly experience God's grace in that calling. Most of you probably noticed this morning I did not pass the song along on the brothers' chat that I get every Sunday morning. It was specifically for mothers. Would have felt a little odd for me to do that. I think my wife put it on the sisters' chat this morning. But that song speaks of all the responsibilities and sometimes overwhelming call and task to motherhood. But may you be encouraged for the grace of God in that journey as you experience that. You know, I think there's the enemy of our soul, I believe, offers many distractions for mothers. But I just would just encourage you, mothers, as you embrace your responsibility and your calling is a very important, valuable thing. So I trust we were encouraged this morning. Does anybody have any added words or testimony or anything you would like to share? We'll open it up for a minute or two here if you do. Raise your hand high if there's anyone that would like to share anything in addition or any blessing to your mother that you didn't share earlier that you would like to now. If you were reminded of something, raise your hand. Brother Nathan.
I just wanted to say amen to the message and just underscore the fact that God's role for our sisters, especially in the role of motherhood, is such a profound one. And a role that is often not valued in the world today as it ought to be. And I think at times we do face pressures from society, and this is one of those things where we can be pressured into feeling like something is or that God's way is somehow inferior. But I just want to underscore God's way is best, and the impact that our sisters can have in the home as mothers is just really incalculable. It's just oftentimes we don't even realize and take it for granted. I know that I do. But I was just reminded of that poem or that saying, that the poem isn't written about it, but the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. And there's a lot of truth to that. The influence that a godly mother can have in the life of her children is tremendous, and can set the course in such a way that nothing else can. So I just want to encourage you mothers to take heart and to walk close with God in the challenges you face. I know that your role is not easy. I may have said this before, but you know, the times when I've stayed at home to care for the children, like after the birth of a child, I realized what a load my wife carried that I didn't realize before. I just want to bless you mothers for all that you do in pouring yourselves out in the lives of your children.
Switch roles for a day or two. We men would be so happy to just give it all back to our wives. I think there is some stories out there of men who did that for a day. And yeah, sometimes we take the responsibility for just a little bit. It's like, wow, just is that way. Okay, anybody else? Could we get a mic up here to Caleb?
Okay, I want to bless my mom for being a good mom. And I'm glad I get I love her accent. She's a very prime rib.
God bless you, Caleb. You have a good mother. Okay, was somebody over here?
I was recently saw this post from a mom on Facebook. A very interesting thing. I think because I'm, getting into that motherhood, entering into that, a lot of these things kind of I want to learn from, and sometimes it can look very overwhelming and very scary, and I see mothers with all these children, and I wonder, how in the world do they do this? And anyway, and through this experience, how is it going to draw me closer to God? Like, sometimes it's easy to look at it and feel like, how is it going to? Anyway, I just saw this, and people have different ways of experiencing or connecting to God in a closer way. I guess this person was saying when she gave birth, that was when she really realized, like, you know, Jesus gave his life, he sacrificed, his body was broken for us, and he is the ultimate, like, he gave everything. And I think for Mother's Day, in a physical way, Jesus experienced that physically. And we have this time where we do experience physical brokenness in our bodies, and we do give of ourselves so that life can be, can come out of that. And I find that very, very beautiful. And I thought that was very beautiful. So I'm just like, yeah, that experience can, I don't know, it was just very encouraging. So hopefully that's encouraging to someone else too.
Susie over here has her hand up.
Just very quick. I bless all the moms that so love our dear children, especially Sister Michelle, Linda, and Thelma. The love that they share and what they do for their unfailing love, the needy ones that they have in their home, that you just keep giving and giving and giving. And they're all three so quiet doing it. It's hardly noticeable what they're doing, but they do so much for them. And I want to bless them for the love that they have for their challenged ones.
And if I may say thank you, Grandma Susie, for that encouragement.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.